This must be how people feel after their wedding day. Or like whatever is the thing that is the biggest deal to them on the planet. Because I am filled with so many emotions right now that there's no way this is a television show. There's no fucking way that this is about a TV show. I just finished watching the Friends reunion. If you guys are here watching this live at 2 a.m, I'm guessing you just finished watching the Friends reunion too. And it was incredible. It was incredible. Everyone else can go piss bricks. No one's yucking our yum today. It was so unbelievable that I don't know how you are a super fan of this show and don't feel so honored by what they gave us today. They did everything. I've never taken more notes on something in my life. I didn't want to miss a thing. For a living, I review things. You jot things down. Can I explain to you guys? You can't see because it's not focusing. I just have paragraphs and paragraphs of notes, of things, of quotes, of things I wanted to remember, of stuff I wanted to talk about today. It was so unbelievable. And so that's what we're doing today on the show. Today, this morning, tonight, whatever time it is, wherever you are. I've watched it once. I certainly will be watching it again. But it feels like that might be the last time we get something like this. That might be the last time that we get all six of them back in one place doing everything from a walkthrough of the set, which who knows if that will ever be the same again, to table reads of multiple episodes, to guest stars, not just appearing because they wanted the notoriety, but literally just showing up to talk about what Friends means to them, to hearing what people all around the world think about the show. People who had sicknesses, their sick parents, people who are struggling. I'm that. I was watching that like, holy shit, this is not a show to me. This show has meant everything to me. It has gotten me through the worst days of my life. This is a show I watched back and forth, frontwards to backwards, a bajillion times with my mom when she was healthy, when she was sick. This is a show I watched after she died that made me feel close to her. This is a show I watched through every single breakup and every relationship. This is a show that has given me advice and made me smile. This is a show that has meant everything to me. And I'm one of millions to hear during this that this show has been watched for over 100 billion hours on streaming platforms. It doesn't come as a surprise, but it is just such a huge number. And it's that way for a reason, because I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. There's nothing else in the world that I'm staying up until 2 a.m. And for some of you guys, it's 5 a.m. For others of you guys, it's the middle of the night, because people watch the show at fucking everywhere. All over the world. Wow. What an incredible job. We're going to go chronologically because That was an hour, 104 minutes of jam-packed incredibleness. I'm glad with the way that they organized it. I guess just overall thoughts in general. And if you guys have thoughts, super chat them in, streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Did it affect you as much as it affected me? And once again, truly, if you did not like this, then I just actually don't want to hear from you today. I'm usually open to everybody's opinion. But if this was not for you, I actually just don't feel like hearing from you today. Come at me tomorrow or the next day. Not today. Not today. Today is the day that the people who are here need to either be here because they just want to be around positivity or because they watched this and they love this effing reunion. So those are the people. Super chat, Streamlabs, chat in, all of that stuff. In general, I love the way they structured this. I thought it was really smart to not section things off like first we're doing the table reads, then we're doing the James Corden stuff, then we're doing the set visit. Everything was intermixed in a way that nothing ever got stale. It always felt really fresh. You never knew exactly what they were going to do. And that way they were able to address the same topic in multiple locations. So just from a perspective of keeping anybody entertained and busy, it was really smart the way they did it. Also love that it wasn't just a sit down. Based on the trailer that we saw, we knew it wasn't just going to be a sit down interview, but I didn't know to what extent they were really going to use their games and devices to incorporate all of the guest stars and the flashbacks. It almost was like a clip episode at times, but only for about maybe 10% of this. And that was the correct percentage. You don't want to go through an entire reunion special that's taking place 17 years later and not show any footage from the original series. That would be crazy. But at the same time, I also didn't want to see a compilation of the show that I could have picked up on YouTube where we're not getting enough new stuff. So I thought that the way that they mixed this up was really, really smart. And it made the 104 minutes feel like 30 seconds. I could have watched another 5 million minutes of this and it wouldn't have been long enough, but they definitely left us wanting more. And that was really great. Going through chronologically, 17 years later, that's just a doozy of a number at the top of this. It is incredible that it has taken us this long to get to this spot, that we didn't have a 10-year or 15-year, and now it's 17 years. Sometimes I feel like the timing is right when the timing is right. And that is just, this timing was right. It couldn't come at a better time because we are post or coming towards the end of the pandemic. And I know this sounds crazy, but all of us are thinking about what's important in our lives. And to me, I watched this show. This show started when I was 3 years old. And it's no coincidence that it's right around then that I knew I wanted to be a performer. I think that this has had such a huge impact on all of us in many ways, but we'll get more into that later. First person to walk onto set, David Schwimmer, he walks on and says that he's talking about him and Jen's first kiss. This is a little bit of foreshadowing to later on in this episode, which I'm just going to lose my mind when we talk about the Jennifer Aniston, David Schwimmer stuff. That was probably the biggest reveal of the entire thing. Not because none of us had a clue, but because the way that they addressed it was different than they've ever addressed it in the past. And this was so, so wild for them to see or to talk about. But this is a little bit of foreshadowing as he's talking about his and Jen's first kiss. Then Lisa Kudrow comes out next, and Jennifer Aniston, then Matt LeBlanc, then Courtney Cox and Matthew Perry. At this point, we're a few minutes in and I'm sitting there losing my fucking mind. I have chills. I'm in sweats. I'm not talking about sweat outfit. I'm talking about I'm dripping in sweat. In case you guys can't see, by the way, they don't know that we know. They know we know because I by myself watched this and legitimately went into my drawer. I have about five classic friend shirts. And I was like, I don't know which one to wear. This is very stressful. This one was the first one I put on. And then I was like, if I just start changing them now, what if I end up late to the viewing? So I just want you guys to know that I'm in my shirt represent. So I have chills at this point, just seeing them all back together in one room. We could have ended the reunion there and I would have been like, wow, that was worth my time. But of course we didn't. They're all crying. I'm fucking crying. And then boom, they hit us with the theme song. This is the first time we've gotten to hear this theme song play in an episode of Friends for the first time in 17 years. Now, yes, you guys know I watch Friends every single day. And yes, you know that I have binged it 1,000 times every which way. But this is the first time in 17 years we've heard this song play in an episode of Friends, the Friends reunion, live watching it. I'm not saying they were live. I'm saying it was premiering and we're all watching it together collectively. I'm sitting there like a crazy. They put footage of the reunion episode as the footage in this. Really smart. Really like this. Then we're hit with James Corden. I've already given my thoughts on this. I think they probably could have picked a better person for this position. After watching this, did he do a totally serviceable job? Yes, his role was very minor. And so that's fine. This is literally what I wrote down on my notepad. Who the fuck is in this audience? I don't understand. If this universe hears me, or the use of the you and me, you guys who are up at this time watching this too, me, where was our invite? Who is in this fucking audience that isn't us? I would have cut off a pinky to be in this audience. Cut off a pinky. I really mean that. There's got to be more opportunities like this in the future. Oh, please, please. Kevin Bryant, Marta Kaufman, David Crane, they're all there. Of course, we have to have the creators of the show. You guys know I've interviewed Kevin Bryant. I've interviewed David Crane. I have not gotten to Marta yet. I will at some point in my career, and I cannot wait for that moment. I just thought all three of them did a really good job during this, and I thought that the way that they pitched this is so smart and so simple. As somebody who's a creator myself, and as many of you guys are as well, they say the quick one-liner is, it's about that time in your life when your friends are your family. That is such a relatable concept. That is, of course, what Friends is about, as they are, as I talk about here with the rock stars, your chosen people, your chosen family. They are each other's chosen family. It's about that time in your life when your friends are your family. And then to come full circle at the end of the episode where Marta says, so the reason the show needed to come to the end is because it was no longer that their friends were their family, because they, once you have family of your own, it's no longer that time. And so that was a really interesting way of figuring out where it started versus 10 years later and how it finished. That really sticks with me. And I think for a show to be able to be pitched that simply, really, really smart. They were onto something at the very top. Matt and Matt, the two Matts, Eminem in the chairs. You just got to love that moment. There's been a lot of talk about Matthew Perry and what's going on with him after the trailer. People are asking why he's slurring his words. We had heard that he had some dental work done, but I will just put the kibosh on this right now. I thought that Matthew Perry did a great job in this. He might not speak as much as some of the other friends during this, but I think that he did a really great job, and he was really open and honest about a clear insecurity of his during this. So I was really glad to have him participate in this episode in the way that he did, and to open up, talk about that shortly. But this chair moment was really nice for all of us Friends fans. I know that they probably, of the group, they're all friends, but are Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry the tightest two that hang out all the time? Probably not, but in our mind, when we think about the show, the two best friends of the show are Joey and Chandler. So to get that moment where they're in the other room and they're sitting in the chairs and they do the lean back, that was just such a friendship win for all of us. For everybody who had a Chandler growing up, or had a Joey growing up, or has that today, where you know that's your brother, that's your BFFFFFFFAEAE, to know that that person is your ride or die, even no matter how different you are from each other. So watching them go back in their chairs and talk about that episode that they didn't leave their chairs, that was really phenomenally done. David doesn't remember throwing the ball back and forth. I was pretty surprised to hear this. I know it was 17 years ago. I know a lot of them don't watch it. We even find out later on that there are entire seasons that Lisa Kudrow has never seen, that several of them have not seen a lot of the episodes. But that's such a huge moment. And you just think these people get interviewed about this all the time. You would think at some point in the last 17 years, somebody would have mentioned the episode that they are playing Keep the Ball Up in the Air to David Schwimmer, and he has no recollection of it. So that was pretty funny to me. It's always a little upsetting when some of them don't remember things. you can't get too upset because they filmed 200 and what was it? 236 episodes of the show. So you can't, but I was like, oh, he doesn't remember that. That was a sick episode. I remember that. I love that episode, but I will cut him some slack. Then they talked about their favorite episodes. That seemed to be a running theme of this entire thing. Their favorite episodes. We hear that from the guest stars. We hear that from the Mindy Kalings of this episode. The people who are coming in who are giving their thoughts on it. So I like always hearing anybody's favorite Friends episode. I would love to hear from you guys. Streamlabs.com/RoxyStrider. Super chat in. What is your favorite Friends episode? It does say a lot about a person, and this maybe needs to be required to be on my any future dates. I must know what somebody's favorite Friends episode is before I move forward with anything, because it does say a lot. But are there any wrong answers? I don't know about that. It's the greatest show of all time, so it's pretty easy to pick a good one. Then we move forward. We talk about, we do this trivia game. So we set up the trivia game. This was such a smart device for them to use to bring out the guest stars and also to kind of get everybody talking. Anytime this show does any boys versus girls thing, it always turns out really fucking funny. And have David Schwimmer read these cards. Loved this. Loved this choice. Loved this game. We know that this is one of the biggest moments in Friends history when the girls lose their apartment. So this was awesome. Again, similar to Keep the Ball Up in the Air and David Schwimmer not remembering this, them not remembering Mr. Heckles, none of them remembering Mr. Heckles. I was like, are y'all serious? You don't remember Mr. Heckles? That's not a one-off, one-time episode. We reference Mr. Heckles a lot. Remember Chandler's entire episode about becoming Mr. Heckles and the yearbook and going through and the broom and Mr. Heckles? I mean, at least Lisa Kudrow knew that it was Larry Hankin. So that we got that, but none of them knew it was Mr. Heckles. And I was like, y'all need to do a binge watch really soon. That's the jam. And he's one of the best characters that's ever been on the show. He's such a curmudgeon. And curmudgeon characters make for really good villains on sitcoms. And he did it oh so well. Loved that. Loved the string quartet. Loved them not knowing if Ross was the answer, even though it clearly rhymed. And then we briefly get Reese Witherspoon. Reese must have fucking loved her time on this show. She must still be friends with some of the castmates, and she must be just a stand-up chica to be like, yep, I'm going to appear in the Friends reunion. Reese Witherspoon, one of the biggest stars on the planet right now. Reese Witherspoon with her own production company, Hello Sunshine. Reese Witherspoon, constantly working. Reese Witherspoon, star of The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston. I'm sure they're texting about it nonstop. Like, there's no way that she wasn't just like, oh, yep, I'm friends with her still. I love this show. This is something that I want to do. I'm going to pop on and do this. Probably it stemmed from a little conversation somewhere on set at some point in time. And then they just decided that they were going to bring Reese back in for this. I wish she could have interacted with them, because obviously as one of Rachel's sisters, it's really fun to see. It's more fun to see them there in person, but just to have her remember that she walked in and Joey said, how you doing? I was like, oh, she remembers that. That's me. If I was on set and somebody said their catchphrase, you would lose your mind. You would lose your mind. And the fact that he used that on her and she remembers that moment, I was like, yes, Reese Witherspoon is an icon, a legend. I'm so here for her and her showing up to do this. Good for you, Reese. Janine, my girl, says, didn't she do that Apple TV show with Jen? Yeah, The Morning Show. Like I was just talking about, they filmed that together. It's awesome. That show is excellent. And Reese Witherspoon is quite the effing actress as well. So that seems really great. Then we do the table read. We've got that table read about the jellyfish. This scene was the perfect scene for them to select to do a table read, because the way that Courtney Cox and the two Matts, Perry and LeBlanc, and everybody in this, honestly, everybody in this, the way they played off each other, it like transported me back in time. It's almost like they still have the same inflection, even though they don't remember how they did their lines. And they really performed here. They really gave their all. They're not sitting there reading off a piece of paper like, but I couldn't do it. They're really, really performing. And I thought that this was a perfect, perfect episode or table read for them to pick to do. I don't know how they picked which scripts they were going to read, but they did just such, they really put their heart and soul into this. And you could tell, and it was awesome. I'm going to pause for a second going through this because we have a couple Streamlabs rolling through. Streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier. Let me know any of your questions, comments, concerns. Nope, actually, any of your questions, comments, no concerns for this one. Would love to hear your favorite moments of the reunion. Evan Hooker says, 5 a.m. here in New Jersey. Watched the reunion during my overnight shift and really loved it. Oh, I'm so happy, Evan. Awesome structure. The bloopers made me laugh out loud. Me too. From the perfect casting to the theme song, Friends really was one of those rare lightning in a bottle shows. It was. And throughout this, when we talk about the casting and all the things that went right, there were just so many things that had to line up for this to be the exact show that it was. And boy, was it lightning in a bottle. Lady Dog Brandy, my girl in the Streamlabs, says, I love the reunion. It made me laugh, cry, and remember all the memories I had growing up with the show. I was 14 when the show started. I had just lost my brother and my nephew, and I was going through a deep depression. The show helped me forget the pain. Brandy, how amazing is that? That's what television can do and art can do. And that's a huge reason why I've wanted to do that my entire life. And just watching all the people around the world talk about that experience that you've had and that I've had, where this is the thing that keeps me going. And not just TV in general, because yes, TV in general, but this specific show. Oh God, it really, yeah, yes. Continuing, Streamlabs in, any other thoughts? Streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier as we go through. They talk about the first time they all met. That was stuff that we've kind of heard before, but just them all being in awe of each other. You can tell they really have a mutual respect for one another, not just a friendship, but a respect. They all think each other are incredibly talented, and that's really important when you are working on an ensemble piece. They all need to be equals, and really seemed like they were. And even back in this moment, regardless of what's happened since, where we feel like one person might be more famous than the rest of them, or it ebbs and flows a little bit, they all feel like equals when they're in the same room. And I think that is what works so well with their chemistry and for their actual ability to stay as a collective, as a unit. They were talking about the casting, a lot of things that we already knew about the casting, but definitely nice to hear them go through it again, that David Schwimmer had quit TV and moved back to Chicago to do theater. So if this show didn't have, I did a whole piece for Screen Junkies or for Fandom about how the show doesn't work without Lisa Kudrow. But the truth is, I wanted to do that for every single character. The show doesn't work without any single one of the actors, because David Schwimmer, I mean, when you think about a Ross type, there really is no Ross type. There's David Schwimmer. I've never seen a character exactly like this before. And they knew he was the first person they signed to the show because he's the guy. He's off, but you still love him, but you hate him. And he's a lot of people's least favorite character. But not because he's not perfect for what he's doing, but just because he's the bone guy, and he's a little bit of a stickler, and he's got to be right, and he's super stubborn, and all for all of those reasons, it's just like, oh, Ross. But he's also at the center of so many different relationships, and David Schwimmer is perfectly cast. Lisa Kudrow being the second one. This is always a wild story because they didn't tell this, but we know that Lisa Kudrow was in the pilot of Frasier, and then they reshot the pilot and that she had lost that job. And so just interesting that how life works. And this was Mad. They were like, for Mad About You, we got to snatch her up. Smart thinking. Then Matt, I didn't know this actually, which I'm sure it was out there, but I didn't know that Matt LeBlanc was up against another guy who ended up being fake Joey with the Unagi. And that, bummer for him. Not for Matt LeBlanc, but imagine Imagine that. Imagine that. I might have heard that at some point along the way, but I was glad that they're giving us these little tidbits, because that's the stuff as a fan that you're just like, whoa, that's crazy. I liked them going over Courtney and Matthew with the luggage thing. I talked to David Crane about that previously, but you know, sometimes this is a lesson to all of us in life. The things that seem like the biggest failures at the time are the best thing for you. I'm sure when you have one show that's failing or pilot after pilot that's not working, you probably feel defeated, down, fucked up, and then all those things are happening so that you can get to the certain place in your life that you need to get. Rachel being the hardest to cast, I had never heard before. I knew that she was the last, but I didn't know she was the hardest. And I love the way that they explain this, because she really is, on paper, the most unlikable character. But in the show, she's a lot of people's favorite. And that is a huge testament to Jennifer Aniston and that soul that she brings to the character, because she's spoiled. She is not grounded. She is different than the rest of them. And she still has this beautiful heart that you see all the time, so you don't dislike her. And that's essential, as they said, because we need to be like Ross. We need to fall in love with her. And Jennifer Aniston obviously took off as the number one star of the show because of that. She is one of the most lovable people that we've ever seen on screen. To see her is to fall for her. And not just because of her looks, but that energy, whatever it is she exudes, she's that thing. She's got it going on. And yeah, then the game gets us to Joey's hand twin. Nothing made me happier than Matt LeBlanc being able to pull Thomas Lennon out of a lineup from the hands. Who knows if we got a sneak behind the curtain or if that was real. I don't even fucking care. That was great. Such a random moment to bring back for this reunion, but I was kind of down for it. Bizarro. Then I liked that they covered a lot of the zeitgeist. They got to talk about they're seeing everything in magazines, the Rachel haircut, you know, just what this started looking like in the real world. We heard Joey or Matt LeBlanc talking about their houses and being on the news and being everywhere they went, being like the Beatles. That's something that I don't really remember as much, because by the time the show was off the air in 2004, that's when I was starting high school. So I wasn't really paying attention to the celebrity aspect of it. But looking back, I mean, they really were describing them as like the Beatles. Honestly, it's dead ass accurate. I know that that sounds so strange. And when they said it, I was like the Beatles, but they were the biggest stars on the planet. And there was nowhere they could go where they were not recognized. They were not stopped. This was the people. And you wonder what that would have been like in the age of social media. I don't know whether it would have been better, because there's more people. There are just so many more stars now that the TikTokers are the ones that get the attention, or whether it'd been worse because it would have been what they had and then times 10. I'm curious how the show would have been affected if it was today. Something that we'll never know. Going back into the Streamlabs to see what it is that you guys are talking about in here. Streamlabs.com/Roxy Stryer. I would love to hear from you. Glenn Caesar said, RJ, I lost internet for a bit. So I was like, what? No, Glenn, if that had been me, I would have freaked the fuck out. But I got it back. Wow. Yeah. Gonna watch it again for sure. And yeah, those testimonials. Yeah. And you usually don't stay up and watch live streams this late after not even a lot of MCU Disney Plus stuff. But it was so incredibly awesome to watch this. I kind of felt like I was sitting in a living room or wherever with friends, you all, plus people I don't have any concept of, all around the world watching this together. It was a group consciousness effort, totally. I love you all and couldn't imagine being part of this with anyone else. Cheers to Fuck Yeah News, love and laughter for us all and each of our days, our weeks, our months, and even our years. Yes, hope we can all find what brings us joy and lose ourselves in it. RJ and everyone who shows up to give their support whenever, however they can, when it gets tough, even for yourself, you're not alone. Everyone is battling. Keep on fighting. You're a winner. You're kind. You're smart. You're unique. And showing up for people who want it and need it makes you dope AF. Being so unselfishly loving and supportive of others, including strangers, whether it's on the internet or not, makes you humane and worthy. Your story is important, deserves to be seen and heard. Thank you for that, Glenn, my dear. Original 151, what's up, Vinny? Definitely one of my favorite episodes was the one where Ross is fine. I'm fine. His voice gets so high. I'm fine. Christian Hardesty in the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier says, I always love Friends' bloopers and seeing the reactions was great, but my favorite part was the table read for Ross and Rachel's first kiss, giving me chills. That part was incredible, especially because of all the stuff that we learned about. And don't you worry, I am certainly getting there. Whew, boy. So the fans everywhere part, wild. Then we go to the audience questions, Christina Pickles, Elliot Gold. It was nice to hear them talk about being like the parents. I wish they got to go down there and hug them. I know this is still during quarantine time, so who knows, but that was a really loving moment to see that a lot of these people, not just the six of them, were actually close. Then David Beckham, whoa, huge star. This was one of the most interesting parts of the entire reunion, talking about the Matthew Perry stuff. So this is Matthew Perry's quote. He says, I felt like I was going to die if they didn't laugh. It's not healthy. So they're all kind of talking about having the live audience and how much they loved having the live audience and how if they made a joke, they'd almost try to like one-up themselves. That's what Courtney Cox was saying. She was like trying to always, oh, you like that one? Well, I'm going to do an even better one, bigger one now. But they all kind of said it in like this beautiful, fun, loved having the live audience way. Matthew Perry was really opening up to us. He was, and a couple times throughout the reunion, he's saying, when you feel like you are born to be a performer and your worth, your value, who you are, how important you are to this planet, you believe that that is tied to how people are reacting to you. That is a kind of mental unwellness that a lot of people can't understand. And everybody else around him was like, we didn't know that that's what was going on. And he seemed kind of surprised by that. I think a lot of us tell ourselves these stories like, everybody must know that this is what I'm doing, when none of them knew. And not only did they not know at the time, but 17 years later, they're finding out because he probably never said anything. And here they are sitting there thinking that Matthew Perry is one of the funniest people on the planet, because he absolutely is. And Chandler is when you break down who is whose favorite character, Chandler has the majority of any characters. He is the one who is the most people's favorite character. He's up there for me. You guys know Phoebe takes the cake for me, but Chandler, I always went back and forth between those two. I love Chandler. He's such an incredible character, but that's all due to Matthew Perry. And so we know how amazing he is. The cast knows how amazing he is. Obviously, the creators know how amazing he is. The audience knows how amazing he is, but he doesn't feel that way. And if he misses one laugh, he doesn't feel worthy. And that just made me really sad for him, because we know he struggled with his depression and his drug addiction and his weight gain and loss, which is probably related to those other things. And he just is kind of a roller coaster kind of guy, and ups and downs. And then even when this trailer came out, everybody said that he was slurring his words and that he was hunched over and that he looked like shit and all these things. And then it came out about the tooth surgery and that he, whatever it was. And it's just like, he was cast as the youngest person in the show. I think he was 24 when he was cast, and he clearly has a lot of I guess the word would be agita, stress, anxiety about what it is that he does and if he is worthy. And we know that he is, but it was sad to watch this. I was glad that he opened up a little bit, and I hope that some people out there who can relate to him really look at that and try to implement strategies and talk to people about it so that they don't feel the way that he felt. That's got to be really tough for 10 years to feel that way. And that's just on one set. Think about all the sets that he's on. Really challenging. Oh, that got to me. That one got to me. Mindy Kaling pops on. She is also one of my idols. Any of these people who are, and by any of these people, I mean any of, especially women who are creators, producers, writers, actors, they make their own projects. It's the Mindy Kaling, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Reese Witherspoons of the world. Issa, did I say Issa Rae? I didn't. Issa Rae, who just, they do the damn thing. And so hearing her talk about this, I was grateful that she was there. The something I noticed in the table reads as we were doing the "My Eyes" from Lisa Kudrow. Jennifer Aniston seems to know a lot of her lines still, and she says she's seen the episode so many times since. She wasn't looking down during the table read. Maybe she has an easy time learning things, but she seemed to know a lot of her lines, still had them learned. That made me happy. We got this Lisa Kudrow, Lady Gaga, smelly cat moment. This is part of the episode that bumped a little bit for me. Doesn't really matter. Totally okay. And I told you guys going into this, I was so excited to see Lisa Kudrow play Smelly Cat. I just knew it was going to happen. We saw that image of her with the guitar. And I was just thinking to myself, I forgot that I totally have visuals to go with a lot of these things. But we saw her with the guitar and I just thought to myself, you know, she's got to be playing Smelly Cat. There's no way that she's not playing Smelly Cat. And we know that in Taylor Swift's concert, she's had Lisa Kudrow come out and she's played Smelly Cat before. The Lady Gaga part of it all was kind of like, huh, this is a thing that's taken place. But it was fine. I mean, it was fine. It just seemed like a little like Lisa Kudrow seemed kind of like, why is she here? But I did like that one moment where Lady Gaga says, can I just say thank you for doing this for the people who are different and don't fully fit in with the rest of their friends or the groups. And that also came up later on when Lisa Kudrow was asked about where she would be now. I like that she says probably, you know, bringing the arts and the music to the school for her kids and helping all of the mischievous outcast misfits of the me's, the you's. Likely if you're watching this show, you fucking could relate to Phoebe in a lot of different ways where it's just like you say what you mean and you mean what you say. And sometimes that comes out weird. And sometimes it means you're fucking singing about smelly cats and what people are feeding them. So I think that Lady Gaga was kind of the strange fit here, but she is certainly, she does have some Phoebe tendencies. And so I was okay with this. Yeah, I was okay with this. It was nice to hear that Matt and David have watched this with their daughters. That's cool. That's so cute. Imagine that. I can't believe as I was a kid watching with my mom, friends, and now the friends are parents with their kids watching it. It's cool imagery. There's like some show within that. Kit Harington pops on. He talks about Pivot. I love that they showed us a little more of Pivot because David Schwimmer, you have to think about that. That was in a script. He got a script and it said, pivot, 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 pivot. And he picked that up and he made that weird ass fucking choice, pivot, pivot. And to this day, you and me, I don't know about you for sure, but I'm pretty sure I know about me. I fucking say pivot all the time. Pivot. Pivot. And anytime anybody else says pivot, that's what I think of. No matter what scenario they're saying pivot in, that's what I think of. So based on the choice that he made as an actor, that choice was so strong that 17 years later, that one word means only one thing to me. And it's that. And to a lot of you guys too, I bet. Let me know what else are the strongest things that you guys feel like 17 years later, you still think about the way that they played in this. Streamlabs.com/Roxy Stryer super chat in right here as well. Pivot, pivot. And then everybody just laughing and laughing. They couldn't even get the lines out. I was like, that's me. That was me watching that for the first time. So good. So good. Interesting moment with Matt LeBlanc tripping, coming through, keeps tripping. And then Matthew Perry tried to beat him to the chair because, as he says once again, he couldn't handle someone else was getting the laughs. And I'm sure it's almost like a self-conscious nervous tick. He needs to be in on the jokes. He's got that FOMO with this, which I get. Matt LeBlanc is also very funny and they're both the Mats. So maybe a little friendly competition here. The blooper reel, I'd seen a blooper from this before, but it was nice to see some bloopers. The bat mitzvah, as a Jew, I love watching this. I also love that this show does not have much representation, but where it does have representation is with the Jewish people. And it's nice, especially during this time, for me to remember some of my favorite Jewish characters, because we don't get that many of them. So that was great. Maggie Wiener coming through. We needed this. I love that she comes to sit on the cast. Of every one of the guest stars that came out, I feel like she was the one who clearly the cast was the most excited to be with. We see that warmth from Jennifer Aniston. They all like want to hug her and get up and sit with her and have her be with them. And I think it's because she just so clearly got her place on the show. She wasn't one of the friends, but she was a really important, vital part of the show. They kept bringing her back for a reason. And this was actually the first time I'd ever heard how she got that laugh. I've kind of heard her talk about it before, but the way that she told it here, just about Matthew Perry being that funny that she knew she didn't figure out a laugh, that she was going to break. And that was, after hearing Matthew Perry be so self-conscious over the lack of laughter sometimes or over his jokes or whatever, and then hearing her give him that compliment, I was like, she sees him and she gets how to play all of this. And she is very self-aware and she knows. And that was great to see. And I just like how she fit in. Then there is all the stuff about Ross and Rachel, but not about Ross and Rachel, about David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston. It's time to talk about it, guys. It's time to talk about it. They do the table read of the first kiss, which feels very intense after we hear James Corden just asks it. He says it's going to be cheeky. I'm glad he asked it. I'm glad they answered it. What's going on? Was there ever anything between any of you guys? I've heard several things between several of them before, rumors about different things, but different people were married at different times, and then there was some hookups and some serious or whatever. You never know exactly what happened, but this, they decided for this HBO Max special, Jennifer Aniston says David, and David says that he had a big old fat crush on Jen, and Jen says she completely reciprocated, and that they were really fucking into each other. I have so many mixed feelings on this. Number one, immediately, my lover of love, shipper of ships, my heart was like, maybe they should be together. What happened? Maybe they should have been together. Imagine a world in which Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer ended up together. That is mind-blowing. The other part of me was like, Courtney Cox, where you're thinking to yourself, good thing you didn't, because you could have really fucked up a 10-year-long show, such as what happened on a Vampire Diaries kind of show with Ian Somerhalder and Nina Dobrev, and that they couldn't even stand to be in the same fucking room with each other, but supposed to be this epic love story, and that can be really, really challenging. But if you are a fan of Friends, to find out that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer both liked each other, were cuddling between takes, that everybody on set knew that they dug each other, your mind gets kind of blown. To hear it from the horse's mouth is like, whoa. I wonder if they ever did really get together. Jen says that their first kiss is that first kiss. It's probably why it's one of the most incredible on-screen kisses of all time. We did a World Girl episode in which I actually referenced this kiss because it is so beautiful. It's funny because you can't get the locks open, but it's heartbreaking. But then the kiss, and it's the perfect kiss with the face grab. And I remember watching this kiss and thinking, I hope one day, and I know there's so much toxicity in the relationship and it's on again, off again, and we're on a break and not. If you say that you love this couple, then you're tortured by the internet. Fine. Torture me. Go ahead. This is one of my favorite couples that's ever been on TV. Just because they are the quintessential will they, won't they of television. And this first kiss that knocked all of our socks off, the chemistry was so palpable, you just knew that these people were in love and they were going to end up together. This is the moment you know, no matter how long the show runs for, they are going to be together. And it was so wild to hear this is the first time they kissed and that the two people, the actors, had been dying to kiss each other. Makes a lot of fucking sense. Huge reveal, very big moment. And, you know, my lover loves Shipper to Ships. I'm always wondering, what if? Whoa. What do you guys think? Do you wish that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer had gotten together? Do you think that there was still something there? I don't know. I think she's single. I know that she was with Justin Theroux, but then they broke up. I have no idea what his relationship status is. I know that he has his daughter, but I don't know. Is he with anybody? If he's not, then I guess I kind of hope that they get back together. If he is, then I hope that they don't, because I always root for whatever couple is the most stable one that is together. So, whoa. Just whoa on that. Let me know on the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/RoxyStryer, super chat in as well. Would love to hear from you guys. I know it's late, but there is no way we are not talking about Friends tonight. This fashion show, I wonder who the fuck pitched this. Loved it. It really worked. But if somebody had pitched this to me, I would have been like, huh? You're telling me that Cara Delevingne, Cindy Crawford, and Justin Bieber are going to do a Friends fashion show of the, not the iconic Friends fashion, the trash Friends fashion that's fucking hysterical. We're going to put them in a bridesmaid outfit, in a holiday armadillo, in a potato. That's what we are going to show these people in. And it's going to be three of the biggest stars that are on stage that day. Unbelievable. Whose pitch was this? Give them a raise. Give them all the raises. So weird. Cara Delevingne, rocked the hell of that bridesmaid's dress. I don't know what to say about that. Cindy Crawford is the hottest person I've ever seen. Those leather pants looked like they were made for her. Justin Bieber as Sputnik was unbelievable. I hope that gets gift everywhere. Why was Justin Bieber on set as Sputnik? We didn't hear him say one word, nothing. Justin Bieber came onto set to be a potato. Justin Bieber's a very busy man. I don't know if you guys know that. And he came to be a potato. How the fuck did that happen? That's how big this show is. People want to be so involved that they're willing to be one of the biggest stars on the planet currently is willing to be a potato with no lines. A lineless potato who dances. Word. And then, of course, to top it all off, the best part is Matt LeBlanc. Could I be wearing any more clothes? Doing the lunges, going commando. I hope he went commando in all those clothes. That would be just chef's kiss. So good. Then every time they want to play the finale, I got off the plane. Oh, it's just, it always hits me. But this one hit a little harder because we had known about all the David Schwimmer, Jennifer Aniston stuff. And then we see that they wrap. They do cut and they stay in that embrace. They just stay holding each other. And wow, you feel it. You feel like even if it's a fake relationship, they spent 10 years together and that's the last time that they're going to kiss. That made me tear up. Like, wow, it's her work husband. I also had a list of fun facts, which I don't know if these are facts or whatever, but these were things throughout the episode that they said that I was like, oh, this is cool. That there is a script that was always in the sink. That's awesome. And that Courtney Cox never seemed to be able to know her lines. That Matt LeBlanc still has the original ball from Foosball. We've known about some of the other things that people have taken, but that one I didn't know. The 100 billion times that this has been watched 100 billion times. I said hours before. It didn't mean that. 100 billion times. Across all platforms. That's even crazier. I hadn't heard the story about Matt LeBlanc getting fucked up before his last callback and then getting the job and telling them what happened and with the nose. That was a new one for me. BTS, that one I wrote down as like the of all the celebs that were there, that is how huge this is, that BTS were like, no, we want to talk about Friends. And them saying that friends taught them English. What? That David hated Marcel. This I've heard in many interviews, but the way that he described it here was true hatred. And I like that energy from him. That was fucking funny. The pulling the arm out of the socket, that was watching the footage back was, and then watching them watch it. I was like, whoa, I guess we're not even in fun facts. These were just moments that I was like, must speak about. Monica and Chandler were supposed to be a brief fling, but the audience spoke on it. This just kind of sparked something in me because I was like, it's kind of like having a live audience was there today's version of Twitter, where when we like a couple, we tweet about them, we hashtag them, we say that we want these shows to keep it going, but they saw with the live audience that live audience was almost like a beta Twitter, which, God, I wish that's the way it worked again. I wish we had just live audiences and not Twitter, but I love Twitter. Lisa Kudrow having the best laugh. I've always thought about how incredible her laugh is, and so that was that. Just hearing her do that too was great. Really, really beautiful. And then the final thing, I shit here. Matt LeBlanc wrote that. I shit here. So good. So good. So yes. Yes to all of this stuff. Just loved it so much. That kind of breaks down the episode. And those were, I'm sure I'll have way more thoughts, but I legitimately couldn't go to sleep and sleep on this and wait to talk to you guys about it. I had to do it tonight. I had to give you guys a place to go. I needed a place to debrief. And thank you guys to everybody in here who decided to stay up to watch the Friends reunion after waiting 17 fucking years for it. And then to watch this after show. Y'all are the best. You really are. We are going to be getting out of here. So any last minute streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier or super chats. Shout out to all the people who stayed up, to Brandy, Ivan Soto, Glenn Caesar, Sumner 2100, Joseph Ashley, a new guy, to Janine, the incredibly ridiculously perfect machine, to Almog Dove and Jeremy Miller. To original 151, nice to have you back, my friend. To Legoland, yes, Lego. And Robert Turner, Mr. Vaju, Chris the Asperger guy, DK, B-Rad the man, Raghu Sharma. I love seeing all these names and having you guys here to talk about this with Evan Hooker. Just shout outs to everybody who showed the fuck up. Matt Munoz, Redford Reddington. Sumner 2100 says, thanks for doing this. I'm glad to be here watching and enjoying the reunion. Me too. Mr. Best Sebster 712. Yes, you guys are great. Thank you. Thank you. I will be back live at the Roxy on Friday, and I will, I'm sure, still be talking about Friends. Definitely going to be talking about it, Only Stupid Answers as well. As always, no matter what we're talking about on this roller coaster show, I always, always mention a few things at the end here to make your bed. It can change your life in a similar way that Friends does. Brett Miles, Jonathan, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor, all three of them for killing Breonna Taylor. Justice for all the people who've lost their lives due to excessive force. If your internet doesn't work, check on it by blowing on it. Don't trend with the Holocaust. Put down the toilet seat and lid. We don't want those flumes. And as my last ode to Friends on this show for today, not ever, because you know I do it all the time, I just really want to say thank you to everybody involved in this project and all of you guys who love this thing as much as I do. I talk all the time about what this show has meant to me, but to see it mean as much to everybody else, they hit on something that made a lot of us feel less alone. And that's a feeling that I feel all the time. Extreme, extreme loneliness and aloneness. And this show has been there for me when nobody else has. And for that, I will always love it and always be grateful. So for those of you guys who feel that way also, then I'm glad that we have each other and that this show had the same effect on you as it did me. Much love to all of you guys. Stay safe, stay sane. And of course, pivot, pivot.